good morning. I'm so glad to be here with you today. I want you to know that Kathy and I are truly uplifted when we come in this building.
Amen.
And y'all don't realize, and I know you don't, unless you've been up here, you don't realize how much your presence lifts us up.
Amen.
You don't realize how much a smile, a handshake, a hug, and I'm glad to see y'all are a hugging group because I'm a hugging guy. I'm so glad to see that. You don't realize how much that lifts us up when we walk in this door. And I want to mention something, Sue. I want to thank Sue today because I got in my car this morning. We drove 2 hours to get here this morning, and I got my glasses. But Sue came through, okay? And Sister Sue brought me some glasses, and she said, "Do these work?" And I said, "Yeah, they work." And I can guarantee you that if I didn't have them up there, I couldn't read this. I went to my eye doctor back, it's been several years ago now. But I went to my eye doctor back several years ago and talked to him a little bit about my eye situation, and he put the little screen up on the wall, and he said, "How far down can you read this screen?" And I said, "Well, I can read the bottom." He said, "That's good." And then he put the little thing on me and started flipping back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. He said, "Is that better? Is that better? Is that better? Yeah, that's better." And then he told me, he said, "You got really good eyes." And I said, "Well, I used to have 20/15. He said, "You still have 20/15, which is better than 20/20, by the way. He said, "You still have 20/15. He said, "But you're having problems right here, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You know why it is?" I said, "Why is that?" He says, "Because you're old." Yeah. Just jump right in there, because that's what it is. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. I want to mention a couple of people that are here today. My brother-in-law is here. And he is a new Christian. He was baptized about 3 or 4 months ago. And I am excited about my brother-in-law. I have the honor to baptize him, and that is an honor, folks, and I want you to know that. And so we are so glad that you are with us today. Also, the Shoemate family. Now, Steve, I know you're not a Shoemate, but that's okay. You made into it, so you get it, okay? The Shoemate family is here with us today. These are people that I've known since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I guess is what they say. And fine people. They've suffered some losses in their life just recently. And I want y'all to meet all of these people before they leave today and ask them to come and be with us all the time. So we want them here all the time. Okay. Now, I didn't come here today to talk about that, okay? I actually came here today to talk about your faith. And I want to start in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is, I affectionately call it, the Hall of Honor. The Hall of Fame. Of those individuals who were in the Old Testament who had great faith, okay? Great faith. One of the things that y'all were talking about this morning in our Bible study, y'all were talking about the thief on the cross. Well, that separated him from the other thief on the cross who denied Christ and the one who said, "Remember me." What separated them? It was their faith in Jesus Christ. It was their faith, and that is their heart. So you're right on the money there when you talk about that, and realize that's exactly what we're talking about when we talk about faith. Now, I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to start, okay? Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it is a definition that is given for faith. Now, we don't see definitions a lot. that really lay it out and tell you. Now, there is a definition for sin. But there are several definitions for sin, and my favorite one, the definition for sin, is in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, let me tell you something. The definition for sin is coming short of God's glory. Okay? That's a definition. But I want you to see this because this is very specific in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's very specific as to exactly what the definition for sin is. It says these words. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to understand exactly what faith is. Faith is not belief. Some of you may look at me kind of strange on that. Faith is not belief. Belief is part of faith. Okay, so get that right. Belief is part of faith. You can't have faith without belief. But folks, you can have lots of belief without faith. Because what does it say about the demons? They believe, but what? Tremble. Don't forget that the demons believe, but they tremble. And remember the man who had the legion of demons in him? When they came out and saw Jesus, when he came ashore, and they came out and saw Jesus, did they know who Jesus was? Yes. Folks, they knew who Jesus was before the apostles knew who Jesus was. And I want you to realize that and understand it. Folks, demons believe. They know. They know who God is, they know who Jesus Christ is, and they know where they're going to end up. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So realize that belief is not faith. And when people say all you have to do is believe in order to be saved, I want you to know that's incorrect. Because if all you have to do to believe to be saved, then guess what? The demons are all going to be saved. There's more to it. There's a lot more to it. Now look down at verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see this as well. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I can read on this screen. I don't have to pull my glasses out, thank goodness. But it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now folks, that tells me one major thing in my life and in your life. Faith must exist. Belief doesn't have to be the end all be all, because it's not. Faith must exist. Faith overcomes belief. It is deeper, it is stronger, it is more powerful than anything that belief will bring you. Folks, I use this example a lot. If you've heard me use this example before, that's okay because I'm preaching and y'all just have to hear it. But one of the things that I always tell people is this. I can believe that the sun is going to come up tomorrow. That doesn't cause me to do anything. But if I have faith that the sun is going to come up tomorrow, then I set my alarm clock. I lay out my clothes. I get ready for the coming day. If I believe the sun will rise, that doesn't cause me to do anything. But if I have faith that the sun, S-O-N, is going to return, then I'm going to get ready for his return. You see that? That is a big difference. Now, I also want you to look over here in the book of James. Because James is one of my favorite books. And I've had people that tell me that, oh, we don't even discuss James in our church. Because it goes against the idea of just believing that there's nothing else that you have to do. Folks, that's not the way it is. James tells us that there's more to it than that. And he tells us this in James chapter 2, verse 26. He says, without works is what? And he says it several times. Faith requires action. And the first step of faith, and I'm going to tell you all this, and some of you talked about it a little bit this morning in the Bible study, but I'm going to tell you this, the first action of faith is baptism. I can go a long way into that one. And I will someday. But not today. But I want you to realize that faith without works is dead. And I also want you to realize that if you go over into the book of Revelation, when we all stand before God in judgment, and the books are opened, including the book of life is opened, realize what it says there in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20. It says this, we are judged by our what? Works. This is works of faith that we're talking about here. Now, don't get me wrong, our works will never save us. It took Jesus Christ to do that. But faith requires action, faith requires works, and we're judged by our faith in God. The thief on the cross was saved, and Jesus told him, said, you will be with me in paradise because of his faith. Because of his faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 that we just talked about just a second ago, in Hebrews chapter 11, all those individuals that are listed there, and there's multiple individuals listed there, all of them were saved by their faith in God. Faith is a requirement. Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Absolutely impossible. We must have it. Now, many of us, and notice how I say things because it's important that you understand this. Many of us, that includes me, oftentimes struggles in our faith. Many of us have moments that we worry about what's going to happen, what's going to take place. Kathy and I went out yesterday. We were here in this area. We stayed all day, got here at 9 o'clock in the morning, stayed till 5 o'clock in the evening, and we went around and we saw every house that we could see that was for sale, and we're trying to find something. We didn't find anything. And so Kathy and I were talking about, well, you know, where are we going to be able to lay our head down if we move here? And the response was, both of us, God's got this. I love that. Back several years ago, Kathy took an old piece of barn wood, and she wrote on it, relax, God's got this. And she put it above our television set. So when you're doing what I talked about, you know, 2 weeks ago about watching some of that news that you really don't need to be watching, you need to turn it off and you need to go somewhere else and do something different. But when you're watching all that stuff and you see all those bad things come across the news and you see all these bad reports and all these things happen, there's that sign. Relax. God's got this. God's got it. And so I don't have to worry. But I want you to know that my definition for faith is knowing. I requested that last song that we sang. And the reason I requested that last song that we sang is because, folks, I don't believe that Jesus lives. I know that Jesus lives. I don't believe that God is the creator. I know that God is the creator. I don't believe I have a place in heaven. I know I have a place in heaven. And because I know that, there's no one in this world that can come to me and change my position, because I know it is fact. I know it is correct. God so loved me. I know that. Jesus paid my debt. I know that. And so my definition for faith for you today is this. Know. Know that He is the Creator. Know that He's our Savior. Know that we have a place in heaven with Him. And because of that, we can make it through many, multiple things in our lifetime, because we have the faith that God wants us to have. You realize that the majority of problems that the apostles, that people have in this life today, is because we are people of little faith. Now, I didn't say no faith, because a lot of us have some, but it's because we have little faith. Remember Peter, when he stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water toward Jesus? When he started to sink, remember what Jesus said to him. He said, "Oh, ye of what? Little faith." That's the key. "Oh, ye of little faith." But remember, there were 11 others that were in the boat that wouldn't step out. And probably James and John were in there and said, "Peter, you better figure this out. You don't need to step out there in that water." And they may have even been trying to pull him up back in. But he had the most faith at that point. Peter did. But even at that point, realize what Jesus said about that. He said, "You're a person of little faith. Your faith needs to grow." And so what I want to do today, I want to look at four ways real quickly that you can grow your faith. Four ways that you can grow your faith. Now, last time I was here, I said there were five things that I wanted you to do to improve your happiness. And I found out that I only gave you four. So I'll come back and give you that last one some other time. But I want you to see this, and I want you to understand that there are four things that I want you to look at today that specifically are ways to help you grow your faith. Okay? And I want you to know that all four of these things I do often. I try to do daily because it helps my faith to grow. And folks, my faith will stop growing when I see Jesus face to face, because faith will be taken away by sight. I will know, even as I am known. And so realize that my faith, as long as I'm here on this earth, as long as you are here on this earth, and as long as my eye doctor can say, "Well, you're old," and all those different things like that, realize this, that our faith will grow our entire lives. I have more faith today than I did 10 years ago. I have more faith today than I did yesterday. Because it's going to grow. Okay? Now what I want to look at is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. Just three verses there that we're going to look at. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. And the first one that I have up here on the board is in verse 5. And in verse 5, it starts out by telling us that we should strive for moral excellence, is the terminology. Now, what that means is this. Just like Job, we are to shun evil. Shun evil. Now, I want you to know this about me. I am Irish, And I do have a temper. Comes with being Irish, okay? I do have a temper. I was a coach for 27 years. I was a high school principal for 16 years. And there are times when I can get angry at things. And one of the examples that I use oftentimes is playing golf. I can go fishing all day and I can miss some fish and everything. It doesn't bother me a bit. But I tell you what, I can get on that golf course and I'm just good enough on that golf course to get really mad.
Amen.
Yeah. Because I may walk out there in the first swing, I may walk out there and drive it 250 yards down the middle of the fairway and be a great shot. And then I walk up for my second swing or my approach shot onto the green and I duff it. And it goes about 3 yards. And I used to have the rule that if I threw the golf club further than I hit the ball, I got the difference. Folks, the key though is this. In order to obtain moral excellence, you have to shun evil. And there are things in our lives, all of us have these things in our lives, that are temptations for us. And my temptations may not be the same as your temptations. And your temptations are probably not the same as mine. But I don't care how old you are going to have temptations. And so what you need to do to obtain moral excellence is, number one, shun evil. Things that make you angry, things that cause you problems, things like that, you have to push away from it. You can't focus on that. Number two, knowledge. Incredibly important. And I'm going to tell you a real easy way to gain a lot of knowledge. Come to church. Come to church, come to Bible study. It was very interesting to me this morning when I watched our Bible study in here because I could see a lot of people that had knowledge, had some knowledge that wasn't quite where it needs to be, but every one of them were growing, every one of them were seeking.
Amen.
And folks, that's what we've got to do. And one real easy way to do it, and this is real simple. Before you go to sleep tonight, take 10 minutes, and just open the Bible to wherever it falls out. It doesn't make any difference. Open the Bible to wherever it falls out and start to read. 10 minutes. Before long, you're going to realize that 10 minutes is going to turn into 20 minutes. Because what you're going to do is you're going to get interested in it. And you're going to start saying, you know, that verse reminds me of this verse over here. And so you're going to flip the pages. You're going to read that verse and you're going to read that. And it's going to remind you of another verse over here. And then what's going to happen is you're going to do what all teachers and educators tell you to do. And that's study. I think the Bible tells us that too, doesn't it? Study to show yourself approved. And that's what's going to happen. And if you do this, if you come to church, if you come to Bible study, if you do those type things, and then you take just 10 minutes, start out with 10 minutes. If you take just 10 minutes, you're going to be amazed at how much your knowledge and wisdom is going to increase. And I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed. Because it will. Number three. The church at Antioch was the first church to call themselves what?
Christians.
Christians. Very good. The church at Antioch was the first church to call themselves Christians. What does it mean to be Christian? Some of you said it. Christ-like. To be like Jesus Christ. Strive in every way to be just like Jesus Christ. I used to love it when our teenagers would come to school when I was a principal, and they had this little elastic band, looked like a rubber band on, and said WWJD. Some of you young people got one of those? I loved it. You know what that means? That's exactly right. What would Jesus do? And that's in every situation. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus treat that person? How would Jesus respond if someone came to you and wanted you to do something you knew was wrong? What would Jesus do? And one of the things that Jesus would do always, and this is something I encourage everybody to do, but one of the things that Jesus would do always is this. If he had the opportunity to spread the gospel, guess what he did? Think about the woman at the well. She asked him a question. It opened the door. Folks, if you're willing to walk through that door, you'll be shocked how many times that door will open. Somebody mentioned this morning in our Bible study about helping somebody with their groceries or being helped with your groceries. What did that do with that young lady? It opened that door. It opened the door. And so what do we do in response? We go through it. Because if the door is open, then guess what? We can touch that person, we can touch that soul, and you know what else? If we do that, we've given them the greatest gift that could ever be given to them. Amen. Eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what we need to strive for each and every day. To spread that gospel. And, another lesson, it's a command, isn't it? Read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Read Mark 16, 15 and 16. It's a command. Do it. Number four. This ties up most things. What did Paul say about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13? He says, now abide what? Faith, hope, and love. What's the greatest?
Love.
Here's the thing. If I love you, I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ. If I love you, I'm going to do everything in the world that I can to make sure that you have a place in eternity with God. If I love you, I'm going to help you when you have a need. Remember what Jesus said when he divided the goats from the sheep? He said, because when I was hungry, you did what? When I was thirsty, you did what? And then they ask him point blank, they say, when did we see you and do these things for you? And he says, because you did it to who? The least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. But what did he say to the goats on the other side? Yeah, when I was hungry, you didn't. When I was thirsty, you didn't. When I was sick, you didn't. And then they asked the same questions. They were, well, when did we see you and not minister to you? And then they said, because you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it unto me. Folks, all that is summed up in one big word, and that is love. And I want you to understand the two greatest commandments. What's the first greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt, what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Very good. Love. Love God, love one another. Folks, in today's world, we need that probably more than anything else that we can imagine. Amen. Because if we truly love one another, we're going to teach each other about God. If we truly love one another, we're going to invite people to come to church. If we truly love one another, guess what we're going to do? There are going to be people that are going to be saved because you love them the way that God loved you. And they're going to respond. Now these are four quick, easy things. And I encourage you that if you would just do one, your faith will grow. Increase in moral excellence. Increase in knowledge. Realize this. We need to make sure that we are more Christ-like. And then lastly, of course, is increase in our brotherly love. Love for one another. Do one of those. And it won't be long before you're doing two of them. It won't be long before you're doing three of them. It won't be long before you're doing all of them. And it won't be very long at all before you realize how much your faith has grown. Faith is a necessity. Faith is a requirement. Faith requires action. Let your actions be for God. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.